Would you turn with me to the Gospel of John, the first chapter? And as you find that chapter, I have the privilege of sharing with you that I'm going to take a short hiatus from a week-to-week study in a book, and we're going to take a little brief respite. And if you'll forgive me, I'm going to preach a subject this morning that is on my heart. And as you find that scripture, and I said first John chapter 1, John chapter 13. And have you ever heard of the Tater family? You're going, well, I heard of the Taylor family, but now I'm talking about the Tater family. There are lots of Tater families, and a lot of the Tater family is in your family, and a lot of the Tater family is in our church family. I think that you probably know many of them. There's the Tater that is always running behind. That's the hesitator. And there's a Tater that's always imitating other people. That's imitator. The one who's always got something to say, Carmen Tater. The one that's always causing a ruckus in the house, Aggie Tater. The one who's always bossing people around and causing problems, the dictator. And there's my favorite Tater of all. My favorite Tater. It's got to be your favorite Tater, and that's the sweet Tater. Amen? Don't you love sweet Taters? I tell you what, there are some folks in our church that when you see them, your heart just kind of melts and you go, just thank you, God. But I'm going to tell you, there's another Tater that I want to kind of address this morning, and that's the spectator. That's the Tater whose favorite phrase is, I love work. I love the action. I can watch people do it for hours. The spectator never gets involved, but they're a great observer. And friends, as we are about to head into God's Word, I want you to know this, that there have been a lot of studies done about churches over the years and over the decades. And did you know that studies have shown in the average church in America that 20% of the people do about 100% of the work? They do more than 80% of the work. Have you ever heard that? Most of you have. If that's true, then that means that about 80% of all Christians are spectators. Each week, apparently, most of the people who come to worship watch. They watch. They watch the praise team praise. They watch the ushers ush. They watch the greeters greet. They watch the teachers teach. They watch the givers give. And then when they're finished watching, they go home and they do pretty much nothing until the next week. Sadly, folks, the largest percentage of most congregations are spectators and not participators. Now, there's some people who are going to say, well, Pastor, that's the way I like it. Maybe that's just the way it's supposed to be. You know, some people are supposed to do the stuff and some of us just come and watch. But I'm going to tell you, there are way too many scriptures that tell us different. Way too many of the words of God remind us that we are supposed to be participators. We're supposed to be doers. We're supposed to be obeyers. Galatians chapter 6 verse 4 tells us that each person should examine and have joy in their own work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 13 says that every individual's work will be revealed and tested by God. You know, we all start out spectators. Amen? We do. Did you realize that? Did you know that the very first call of God in your life is, come and see. Come and see. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be finding people in God's world all around us and say, come and see what God is doing. And we all start out spectators, but we don't stop there. When we have that call of God and God touches our hearts, Jesus says, follow me. And he doesn't just stop with follow me. He says, follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. And then there's a fourth step into that. And that's not just to be fishers of men, but he said, go and bear fruit and go and even bear more fruit. If we miss the participation, we miss the blessing that God has for us. And we miss the reward as well. Did you know that every child of God, let me stop there. Every child of God, has a purpose, has a mission, has a duty, has a job description before the Lord. The preacher is not the only person that God sent here to do something. Amen? Let me say that again, and I want you to be ready. The preacher is not the only one that God has sent to the earth to do something. God is still recruiting hearts. God is still recruiting your heart, and he's recruiting lives for his team and his service, because if God had already finished picking his team, he's already got all his players, why are we still on the field? Amen? I've asked Scott and Jenna Davis to read our scripture this morning. As they come, would you stand in honor of God's word?
Good morning, church. I'm Scott Davis.
And I'm Jana Davis.
It looks like you guys have already stood for our scripture, and that's great. So we're going to be reading from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 12 through 17.
Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had handed all things over to him, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid his outer garments aside, and he took a towel and tied it around himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began washing the disciples' feet and wiping them with the towel which he had tied around himself.
In verse 12, so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Thank you.
Would you join me in prayer? Father, we pray that the reading of your word would not hit unfertile soil. Amen. We pray that the seeds of your truth would take root and sprout and grow in us, Father. Thank you so much for your word. We pray that our hearts would respond in a love of our Savior through obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? I want to start with a thanks and a blessing on you. Thank you for being such a loving and caring and serving church. I've shared with many. If I've said it once, I've said it at least close to 1,000 times. We are blessed with an inordinate number of exceptional people and servants in our church. How many of you are at somebody's house, and I'm not asking you to brag, but I just want to, how many of you were at somebody's house yesterday helping with either building something or taking out some trees or something? Just let me see some hands. All around, there we go, all around the congregation. Bless your hearts. Thank you. You know, it makes a difference when we love and take care of each other. Amen? And I'm going to tell you that our Lord told us, he said, that they will know that you are his servants by your love for one another. That's the first way. Not by your ability to tell them what's wrong in their life. Not by your haughtiness of thinking that you're more holy than somebody else. But the reason that they will know that you belong to him is by your love for one another. Thank you, God, for the love of his church family. And all God's people said, amen. So to those who so faithfully serve, thank you. And God bless you. What is ministry? Is it some kind of special spiritual service? Yes, absolutely it is. And it's Jesus who told us what it is. At the great white throne judgment, when he is calling people to account for who they are and who they belong to, Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat." Do you remember? "I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was sick and you ministered to me. I was in prison and you visited me. What is God's ministry? What is the ministry of God? Listen, folks, it is doing whatever is needed unto the least of these. Amen? And when he said that when we did it even to the least of those, it's those who can't pay us back. It's those that are surround us every day. And he said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto who? Jesus said, you've done it unto me. So who should be doing Christian ministry? Who should be putting on the towel? Who should be washing feet? Listen, I'm going to tell you very simply, every Christian is called to serve God and to serve one another. Amen? Every saved person. Now, where in the Bible does it say that? Listen, we've got the example that we just read about Christ Jesus, how he was the one who took the towel, took off his outer garments and wrapped himself in a towel and got down on his hands and knees and washed the feet of the disciples. Where in the Bible does it say that we are to do more than just show up? Listen, just a few. In Psalms chapter 100, verse 2, it says that we should serve the Lord with gladness. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Now, what does that sound like? Does that sound like another command from the Lord? What did he say there? He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And here in Deuteronomy, he says, serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua 24:15, man, he put the sign out. He said, as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. Romans chapter 12:11. He says, you've got all these different abilities. And he goes through and he names a lot of the abilities and the gifts that have been given to people. And he says that we are to use them for one specific purpose. And that was what? Serve the Lord. Serve his church. Does ministry require a special call from God? Yes. It requires a special call from God. And that special call comes to every person who considers themselves a child of God. If you belong to the Lord God and you still have a heartbeat, you're called to serve. Now, I was going to go around and have everybody test the person next to you and give me a report. But as I see that most of your eyes are still open, I think your heart is beating. Do you know what that means? That you are called into the service of God. And although it's true, God does call certain people to certain special vocational ministries. But even though that's the case, every Christian is called to serve God and to serve one another. Now, there are some folks who just may seem to think that it's just natural that some should serve and others should be served. Do you really think that there's some kind of hierarchy there? That some serve and some should be served? I'm going to tell you, Jesus blew that thought right out of the water, amen? Of all the people that should be served, shouldn't God, shouldn't the Son of God, shouldn't our Savior be exalted and lifted up and served in every manner? And yet his life showed us God's way by his example of service, of love, and of sacrifice. When Jesus Christ left his throne in heaven, you know what he did? He submitted to serve us all the way to a cross, all the way to death on a cross. And likewise, dear friends, we're called to humbly serve others. Now, whom should we serve? Or should I say, who should serve? We know whom we should serve. We're going to get to that in a moment. Who should serve? Anybody who wants to be great in the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 10, verse 42, Jesus told us that serving others was his greatness. He told the disciples, he said this, he said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Must be your what? And whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If the Lord our God, if our Savior Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve, friends, where does that leave us? Our ultimate example of the one who gave his life for us says, now you give your life for one another. You know, there's a lot of people who believe that being called into the gospel ministry is a very lofty and prestigious thing. Well, according to Jesus Christ, pastors and ministers are called to be a servant of other people. I don't know how many of you have ever dealt with sheep. About the only time that I've ever seen a sheep was when I was in Israel. And I'm going to tell you that as we went through that flock, we drove through some, we walked through others. And I'm going to tell you, there was not a flock that we went through that didn't stink. Those sheep live outdoors. Those sheep could barely take care of themselves. It took the shepherd to take care of them. And I'm going to tell you, that's what the shepherd is called to do. He's there to take care of the sheep. That's what shepherds are supposed to do. Well, I'm going to tell you, pastors are called to be a servant of others. And yes, they are your spiritual leaders. But dear friends, ministers are supposed to emulate the Lord Christ, who is to be an example of what you are to do. And that is to serve other people. So folks, it's not just the leadership, but the leadership should be modeling the service of Christ Jesus. Now, who are we to do this for? We're serving man, amen? We're serving one another, we're serving others, but we're to do it for the cause of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says this, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." For the sake of whom? Jesus Christ. Now you may be saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor, shouldn't we just do this? Shouldn't we take care of other people just because we care about people? Just because we're supposed to love one another? Just because we're supposed to take care of their bodies and their souls? Yes, we should. But that's not the reason that we're to be a servant to them. Not the only reason, and certainly not the main reason. Why not? I'm going to tell you why. Because humanitarianism, though it is lofty, it cannot be sustained by the mere love of people. The mainspring of our service must never be just the love of man. It has got to be the love of God. It has to be for love of God, a love for our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? I'm going to tell you why. You already know. Because if we are devoted to serve the cause of humanity, it's not going to be long until we are crushed and brokenhearted. Amen? We will more often than not be met with more gratitude from a dog than from people we serve. But if our motive is to serve God, then there is no ingratitude that will hinder us from continuing to serve. We will continue to serve our fellow man. Why? Because we're not looking for our reward from other people. Amen? We're looking for our reward from God the Father. And we know it's most likely not going to come here on this world. Amen? It's going to come later. Why should we do this? Why should we serve God and serve man in this way? We learn from the Apostle Paul that we are first and foremost in debt to Jesus Christ. Amen? We are indebted to Him. We owe Him our everything. And we realize how Jesus Christ has dealt with us in love and in grace. That's how Jesus dealt with us, love and grace. Jesus has loved us, and He has served us all the way to the end of our meanness and our cantankerousness and our selfishness and our sin. And it is His grace towards me, His grace towards you, that gives us our determination to serve other people. God's love for me inspires my love for you. Some of you may be one of the ones who told me this. You've come to me after some of those long, hard weeks, and you said, Pastor, I just don't understand how you do what you do. Pastor, I just don't think I could do what you do for nothing. And what have I told you? You know, I understand, but there's nothing else I would do for anything, because it's a call of God, and I'm not doing it for people. I do it for the Lord. That's our motivation, because God so loved me, because God so gave to me, because God's grace has been poured out for me. That's the way we should be for other people. Amen? That's God's call for his people. We are to serve others for his sake. So when's the best time to serve? I've had people tell me, you know, when's the best time to get involved? Yesterday. And since you can't sign up yesterday, you need to sign up today. I've just met a number of people over the years that said, you know, I'm going to fully serve God when I get to that foreign field. When I get to that place where God really has shown me what he's doing, when God reveals this great and wonderful ministry, I'm going to be all in. I like what J. Vernon McGee said about that guy. He said, that's the same fellow that would try to make bullets inside the trenches of war. You're a little late. We cannot wait until the big crisis to serve God. Do you know why? We've got to be willing to be used in every small moment of every single day. Why? Because the fact is, if we do not serve God in those small moments, those everyday ways, you will never serve God in the big moments. You just won't be ready. It's like saying, I'm going to run a marathon on your very first time out with your tennis shoes on. You've got to train for it, folks. You don't run a marathon without having run a lot of short ones and a lot of long ones in before you do. And God's training is that way. We don't wait until the big things, if you will, to serve God. As God's children, listen, friends, if you've heard nothing else from this sermon, here's what you need to hear. As God's children, we are to minister as opportunity is found. There is a great truth that God showed me in my life just in the last number of years, and that is this. I must be obedient to God in the moment. In what moment? The moment that he calls me. The moment that he says, now, do this. Now, serve. Here, pull over. There, that person, pray. This person, hungry, feed. This person, thirsting, get water. This person needs, do it now. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we must learn to be obedient to God's call in the moment. And when we do that, the satisfaction that he pours into your heart and soul will so fill you that he will bless you in those times that the crisis is so big you don't know how to do it, because he says, just start, I'll take care of the rest. Serve, give, do your best for God in that moment. Don't wait for the big moments to be obedient to God. Do what you can and do what you should in the surroundings you're in. I've shared with you a little ditty in the past that kind of describes what to do with our money and how we should serve God with our money. And it works with the service too. It goes like this. It's not what you do with a million if riches should e'er be your lot, but what you're doing today with the dollar and quarter you've got. Amen? It's the same way with your service. It's true for your money that if you don't serve God with your 10 cents, you're not going to serve him with your 10 million. You're just not going to do it. And if you're not going to serve God with the small things, your day-to-day service and love and giving and sharing and helping, if you're not going to do it then, you're not going to do it anytime. Don't wait for something big. Don't hold your service back. A true servant serves wherever they are, and whatever the situation, and whatever the need. That's what true servants do. You never know Listen, why should we serve in that little bitty moment? Why should we serve in that little bitty need? Why should we serve in that time where it's just kind of happenstance, or so to speak? I'm going to tell you, you never know when God Himself has engineered your very surroundings in that moment. You never know when God has placed you right there in that time at the right moment and right in the middle of it. And by serving God, He does something far beyond what you can understand. The characteristics that we manifest in our daily, commonplace situation is an indication of what we will be like in a crisis situation. In other words, if we do not look to serve God in the small, we will never serve Him in the big. Do you recall that Jesus Christ used very menial, everyday, commonplace things to show His disciples the things of the Father? Do you recall? Oh yes, I recall. He did some incredible miracles. But what happened between all the miracles? The towels, the dishes, the bread, all the ordinary things of our lives, all the ordinary, everyday, sordid things of our lives, they reveal very quickly what we're made of and who we serve. Are you ready for this question? Ask yourself this. Here's one question. Can I use a towel like Jesus did? Can I answer that? Yes, you can. When you realize that the Lord God Almighty is in you, when you realize that the most commonplace of activities and tools can be used as a mighty tool for heaven when God is in you, then God can and will use you greatly. You know, after Jesus washed the disciples' feet, He said, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Let me just read it again. It says that Jesus got up from supper and laid His outer garment aside. And He took a towel and He tied it around Himself. And then He poured water into the basin. And He began washing the disciples' feet and wiping them with the towel which He had tied around Himself. So when He had washed their feet and taken His garments and reclined at the table again, He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for I am. If then the Lord and teacher has washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who sent greater than they who sent him." And look at the last verse with me one more time. Verse 17. If you know these things. Now He's saying, some folks don't know these things. He's saying, but if you know these things, you are blessed if you what? If you do them. What do you think God's going to say to those who appear before Him at the end of time? At the end of days, when we appear before Him, we hinted at it at the beginning of the message. Well, what is He going to say to those who used their valuable time and their valuable gifts and their valuable ability and their valuable self? What is He going to say to those who used them to serve His people? Why don't we just read that? Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 through 40 says this. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them and say, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you what? You did it unto me. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's awfully hard to see the face of Jesus in those that we bend down to wash their feet. Amen? It's hard. But if it was easy, Jesus wouldn't have had to command it. And yet he did. He said, will you be great in my kingdom? Will you be great in his kingdom? Question is, who wants to be great in his kingdom? Would you pray with me? Father, we are thankful for your word. Lord, so many things that could and should and need to be said about these things. And yet, Lord, this day, we come to this one place. Are we great in your kingdom? Will we be obedient to your call to serve? Will we love others in your name by humbling ourselves? Thank you, God, that you laid it out very plainly for us. We don't have any doubt what it takes to be great in your kingdom. Father, we are blessed with many servants. And yet, Father, there is a need for many more. Lord, I pray that those who are already working so hard would not be overtaxed to try even harder, except that you lead them to do so. But Father, I pray that for those who are wondering who this message is for, that you would pull their heart close to you. Let them feel your tug, and God, would you help them to realize it's for them to serve you by serving others, by giving of themselves.